Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And it's just like another glorious cover. Actually, in autumn, I just realized today is the 21st, so we are now in fall time. Speaking of which, I have a couple announcements to make for the upcoming next month and some other events happening. But before I do, it was interesting. I was just watching an interview, and I had seen it earlier with Jesse Ventura and being interviewed by Pierce Morgan on CNN. You can catch it on YouTube. It's a must watch. It was amazing. He even got into the Building 7 collapse, where it was shown on BBC. And they announced the collapsing of BBC TV before it even collapsed. And then he brings up a couple of issues. Like, one was, I thought was both very, very profound, regarding foreign aid. It was interesting when you talk about foreign aid, why the United States, why people, we have to get foreign aid. And Jesse put it in terms so simple, so unbelievable how it really is. If you are, your house is under foreclosure, you're behind your payments, you can barely feed your family, and you're losing, you lost your job, do you go out and lend money to your cousin Bob? No. So, in a sense, that's what he was saying about us in America, about not using, we should cut off our complete foreign aid. I mean, that should be the last thing. Take care of our own first, feed our own first. Then, what's ever left available, utilize for foreign aid. And he is absolutely right. I don't care if it's Egypt, Israel, Indonesia, Japan, or whatever. He is absolutely right about that. Another thing he brought up, which was quite interesting, and I will get into all those aspects, is I thought quite profound was his speaking about the cause, where we are from during the Bush administration with Cheney, and where the United States, where we are as far as our deficit. Unfortunately, he did not mention one thing, which is any Republican will be afraid of saying. In the United States, we were actually in the black, in the positive, not in a deficit, when the Bush administration took office. We were in the plus, okay? When we went negative due to one thing. The Iraq War. At the same time, how many billions upon billions per day was spent initiating the Iraq War, helping the Iraqi government, sending corporations like Halliburton over there? All the billions that was spent there day after day after day. And at the same time, the Bush administration created the infamous tax cut we still have, which gave even the very one percenters like no taxes or very little taxes. So just to keep that in mind. Anyway, do watch that. It's on YouTube. I was just watching and they have the entire thing on YouTube in its entirety, which I'm sort of surprised. And speaking of free speech, we'll get into talk of that because that's part of everything and everything. I would not be doing the show if we didn't have free speech. Before I get into my free speech talk here, like I said, I have a couple of announcements. Of course, I want to thank everybody for listening in and BBS Radio having me on my show. But the week from this Friday on October 6th, I will once again have Carrie Fezza. She usually comes on we're doing every solstice or whatever. But we decided, she asked if instead of that, this coming couple weeks, do an analysis on both Obama and Romney in her astrological analysis. Now, if you're ever looking back in the, this is, I think it was in 07, she was on her first show, I think she ever did, and where she ran a line, did an analysis of all candidates at the time, both Democrat and Republican. This is during the time of the primaries, and amazingly, she was dead on about Obama having the more likely being president. She even talked about how Edwards was going to be in an affair and find some dark things. There's multiple things, if you ever listen to her, in my interview with her, came out to be true. So I think it's be quite interesting what she says about her analysis for the United States in our coming elections for the presidential. And I don't know if she'll get into any of the other aspects, but I'm certainly sure we'll get into about the general election at whole. But it'll be very interesting to see what she has to say about both Romney and Obama, and what their astrological chart even says for the future being our presidents, either or. Also, during next month, haven't circled the date yet, but we're in discussion of circling a date. They do, but I have two very special people I'm going to have on my show this coming month. This is by chance, by the way, on both accounts. I feel sort of honored to have both. I will have Claudette Sterkel, who's an author who has a very interesting book that's coming out. We'll be discussing the injustice in our justice system toward women. This will be a very major eye-opener. She'll get into the realms of where I think there are a lot of women out there, especially in the United States, that have gone through these issues and circumstances where they've been, been basically put on the skewer by our justice system. So I look forward to that. And this month, I'm really, really, really honored to have Stephanie Lodge, who is head of Body Magnetics 360, where she discusses electromagnetic therapy and how it's utilized. If you want to Google her, it's bodymagnetics360, I believe, .com. Do check that out. It gets into this, how to utilize electromagnetic therapy for your changing your patterns and the electromagnetic patterns in your body, thus healing you. It is the new, more, let's say, quantum way of fixing the body, as opposed to a Newtonian way of fixing the body. It almost, when you see it, you'll go, you're going to think of Star Trek. You're almost like at that time, we're heading to, we'll be able to fix our body utilizing electromagnetic energy. So I look really, really, really forward to that too. I know you will. So it's sort of funny because I bring on things that I end up learning, and I'm sure I figure my audiences, you all will learn too. We saw are all in the same school. Now, I also have another special announcement. Those who will be in the area, in the Los Angeles or Ventura area, I will be doing a speaking engagement lecture teaching of practical Kabbalah, the understanding of the numbers, the essence of the letters, and you. This will happen on on Saturday, September 29th, 2012, at 1 p.m. at the Soul Centered Shop. That's at 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. That's 805-640-8222 for registering, pre-registering, or any questions. On the same day, of course, by the way, that's at 1 p.m., so it's a 2-hour class. The same day, same place, same station, I will be doing readings from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And of course, then I will do the class. And then from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'll continue doing readings. So do come by. I'd love to see you all. And this is out in Ojai. It's a lovely little town. And if you're in that area, it'd be great. Also, I want to wish all my listeners who celebrate the Jewish Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, a Chatimah Tovah. But I also want to wish not just them a Chatimah Tovah to all my listeners and all of humanity. That meaning, may all you, my listeners, and all humanity be written in the book of life for the coming year. That's what Chatimah Tovah means. Now, getting to free speech. Boy, oh boy, this is like, it gets my blood boiled when I talk about this. And my girlfriend gets wide-eyed, looks at me when I get wide-eyed when I talk about free speech. Just like, I get, maybe it's the Aries in me. Because free speech is so important. So, so, so important. It's what makes us who we are. It's our individuality. It's what our free, it's our free mind. But I'm going to get into other aspects of how, why I'm getting into the aspects of the free speech. Oh, yes, it must be due to what's going on in the Middle East with all the protests and violence and killings over a film that had depicted their prophet in an unlikely manner. Oh, my God. So they don't like free speech. It's blasphemy versus free speech. Oh my God. Thomas Paine once said, any system of religion that has anything in it that shocks the mind of a body cannot be true. Belief in a cruel God makes a cruel man. Hence what you see in the Middle East. Doesn't that sell you everything? Hence what we see people killing people, even in the United States, over my God is better than your God with the religious Christian right. And everywhere else. There has been, around the world, for thousands of years, having some part of it in it, something religious tone or underlying thing in almost every single war that we've ever had in history. I said almost. Civil War wasn't. Of course, there's always greed and money, but they may have cascaded religious elements over it. But almost every war has been. In the Middle East, though, it's been primarily or greed and religion. This is probably what people don't get about the Middle East, and they have serious problems understanding the culture and mentality, is the Middle East is religion. It's not over land. It's who puts that little flag on Jerusalem. Who puts the flag in Mecca? It's always been us against them. Now, there was a author who wrote, his name is Craig Bottbettle. He wrote an article, and you can look him up. It's called, deals with blasphemy, or it's free speech versus blasphemy, so you can Google it and find the same article. I read it and it was very fascinating, and I'm going to pull out some elements that, by his quotes, and I usually like to credit to people when they put things that are really profound, and this was, he did a really good, profound writing. He said, rights are principles specifying the kinds of action that a person should be able to take. The right to free speech, if it exists, is the prerogative to express one's ideas, whether in spoken, written, or artistic form, regardless of what anyone else thinks, believes, or feels about those ideas. The right to free speech, if it exists, is the prerogative to express one's ideas, whether in spoken, written, or artistical form, regardless of what anyone else thinks, believes, or feels about those ideas. It was written by Craig Biddle. No, his name is Craigbiddle. If you ever want to Google, look it up. Great writer. That was pretty profound, explicit of what free speech is. He also goes into an article. I don't read it verbatim because I couldn't even know how to. I mean, I could read, change, say certain things, but I'd rather use his words. It may sound regurgitating, but I think he did it quite well by changing. He said, "We are in an intellectual battle against religion, at home and abroad, to maintain freedom of speech. There's no middle ground here. Either religion is valid, or we have the right to speak our minds. We can lose certain liberties, as tragically have been doing and continue to do, yet still work peacefully toward resecuring them, so long as we can say what we think. So long as we can say what we think. But to lose freedom of speech would be to lose liberty as such. If we are not free to criticize religion or offend a so-called God or person of God, then we are not free. We are, in fact, fully under the rule of religion. You cannot do or say anything except that which offends God is the law of theocracy, that is, ruled by men who embrace faith, thus reject reason. There was a time when Westerners were unable to criticize religion or offend God for fear of punishment or death. It is called the Dark Ages. To lose our freedom to speak our minds would be the end of peaceful civilization and the beginning of a new, darker, dark age, one in which the church or mosque would have its disposal highly advanced eavesdropping technology, not to mention modern weaponry. The tenets of religion are incompatible with the right to free speech. The only way to mix the two in one's mind is to take neither of them seriously. But not taking religion seriously does not change what religion is or says or means. And not taking freedom of speech seriously does not alter the fact that it is a fundamental requirement of human life. The right to free speech is the recognition of the fact that in order for people to live together peacefully, they must be free to express their thoughts, regardless of what others may think, feel, or just believe. We need freedom of expression. And to establish and maintain it, we must repudiate religion and embrace the rational foundation for rights. If we fail to challenge the growing threat to the freedom of speech at the most fundamental level, we will lose the freedom to express our ideas, which means we lose our ability to live as civilized human beings. In order to disarm those who attack the right to free speech, you must identify religion, all religion, as it is: illogical, invalid, inhuman, nothing less. There was, I don't know if you ever heard, Charles Bradlaugh once said, "Without free speech, no search for truth is possible. No discovery of truth is useful. In other words, free speech is our search of truth. It is the logical way we discover things. It's how we discover who and what we really are in our own individual aspects, how we relate to the universe. Free speech is what makes us unique, each and every one of us. The framers of the Constitution knew that free speech is a friend of change and revolution, but they also knew that it is always the deadliest enemy of tyranny. Hugo Black, think about it. Do you think you have a democracy in the Middle East and Egypt? These countries who have a blur of Islamic law or philosophy held within their government? You cannot have a religion and a democracy at the same time running the government. Because once you have free speech, that challenges that tyranny of religion. Some people say, oh, what about Israel? Well, Israel does not have its clerics sitting on its board. It does not have a government run on halakha or Jewish law. Almost every single Islamic country, I said almost, has in it, within it, even the Palestinian Authority has in it, the elements of Sharia law. Like, for example, they, with the marrying of a non-Muslim, it's forbidden for Muslim to marry a non-Muslim. The selling of land to a non-Muslim, particularly a Jew, death. Hamas certainly is now, what are they? Egypt is now trying to change its law to a more Islamic version. Certainly Saudi Arabia, Jordan. Went down to every Muslim country, Sudan. The Emirates. Indonesia, they all have it. Some less, some more. Anyway, John F. Kennedy once said, and this deals with Americans, but it also deals with the world. We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its own people. Mark Twain once said, "Nature knows no indecencies. Man invents them." In other words, man invents blasphemy. There's no such thing as blasphemy. I call it disrespect. But that's still a view, isn't it? It's based on your view. In nature, there's no perspective. Perspective is an illusion of what you see and hear with your own eyes. Nature knows. Therefore, it is illogical. God, since God is everything, God is nature, the universe, what is indecent? If you get toward the truth, maybe this is just my belief, but let's take out all the beliefs. Let's see if you're looking at an outside view, in logic, reason, even the underlying tones of dogma, being one with God, everything one together. The universe, you, me, all connected. Every dogma says it. Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, Buddhism, Taoism. Potter Stewart once said, censorship reflects society's lack of confidence in self. It is a hallmark of an authoritarian regime. Think about that. What do you have in Iran? China? Any place that produces a censorship upon a society has lack of self-confidence within itself is a hallmark, is an example of an authoritarian regime. Can't get away from that. Benjamin Franklin, great man that he was, once said, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as liberty without freedom of speech. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom. Interesting. Isn't that what I just said earlier? If all mankind minus one were of one opinion, mankind would be no more justified in silencing that one person than he, if he had the power, would be justified in silencing mankind. That was actually out of John Stuart Mill on Liberty, 1859. Fascinating book. Must read. You want to know the true elements of liberty and a true democracy? Read it. John Stuart Mill. So I go back to why I got into this conversation in the first place. We see Muslims as if all at our embassies in the United States. And what it reminded me of the song by Rage Against the Machine. To kill a man all in the name of, in this case, just another invention of a lie, a religion, this time Islam. How pathetic. I mean, it was some approximately 2,500 years ago that the Greeks were killing each other over stupid statues on each city. Today, it's over a damn book or image. Every single thing that is wrong with humanity can be seen and highly exemplified in the Middle East. For example, human rights, women's rights, free speech, tolerance, the my God is better than your God crap, respect, energy, the environment, and the mentality and illusion that we, as humans, are separate from each other, from Earth and its inhabitants, and the universe. These are shown within the Middle East. That is what's wrong. The people marching and screaming, they're wrong. They're showing us how our whole humanity is screwed up. I'm not angry with them. They're showing how they're screwed up, but how we're screwed up on a whole. It's showing us ways we can fix it. Not by appeasement. That is the wrong way. Not by not saying it's for them to see the realness of it. Now, this is for people outside the United States, so they have to understand what America has, and if you don't like it, tough. Get with it. You don't like it? tough. In America, we have the First Amendment. You don't have it, that's your problem. Here in the United States, we have a freedom of speech. Wonder why America has progressed so far? What did I say about ideas, wisdom, technology? Why are people suddenly wanting to come to the United States? What is the fundamental reasons they come here? People come here from even Muslim countries are more freer here than in their own countries. People come from all around the world. Why? Not just because of the economic advantages, but because freedom. Underlining tone. Even though I know some people, well, we don't have true freedom. Believe me, we have more freedom than around a lot of other countries. We have a freedom of speech. Remember I was in the UK and somebody said, I was talking stuff about the Queen of England. And they said, well, you better watch what you say about that or MI5 will pick your ass up. That's true. How much could I really stand in front of anywhere and talk crap about the government and how long will it take before I get picked up? I just mentioned a couple of people like Jesse Ventura and a whole bunch of other people. I mean, there's a lot of people say stuff and they get ostracized in the United States. They may not get put on media, they may get twisted, turned. Maybe jailed, but very, 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 it's not a common thing. It's very done in respect. Which comes back to our Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, which was not to go hunting, not to just defend ourselves. It was a counter to protect us against our own government from being a tyranny. It was a challenge to the government. And by having the Second Amendment, enforced us to achieve our freedom of speech. Without that Second Amendment, we would lose our freedom of speech. The freedom First Amendment says, and I'll repeat it, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion. Oh, that means we're not Christian. This is not a Christian country. We're not Islamic. We're not Jewish. We're not Mormon. We're not Buddhist. We're not Hindu. We don't have anything like that. But it says Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging thereof, meaning freedom of religion. You can have any religion. Free to do your own religion, or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Get it? Now here's my free speech. Imposing an idea, and is an idea, that being God, even my belief is an idea, what I believe. If I say my idea, I believe in Fred Flintstone, and I think that image is holy art thou, that's my belief. My belief is no better than your belief. That's why I say it the way it is. I know what I believe, and I can't say, oh, you all have to believe the way I do. But the ideas and concept of reality of certain situations lead to us the common source. The sun rises in what direction and sets in what direction? Science has even shown in facts that we are all physically connected to each other, both in a spiritual sense and a physical sense. Fact. It shows that we have all elements from the earth. Fact. The questions if we've had past lives, that's questionable. But how do we have revelations of things that have occurred from another lifetime? So is that true? We do have life, past lives? If we've had past lives, that means we come and go. And come and go. And come and go. 1 year I grew up in Arab body, one lifetime I'm in African American, one lifetime in Indian, one time I'm white, one time I'm green, one time I'm yellow. Soul has no face, full soul has no physical element to it. You tell me, look, this is not an idea. You tell me, where is your soul? What does your soul look like? Is it your physical fingers, your tongue, your brain? No. So is that an idea? No. But I ask them, what is religion today? Religions. Where are they on freedom of speech? Let's start with the United States. Because I know we've been so focused on things in the overseas. Look what happens in the United States. We have a Republican Party who talks about pro-life, but against pro-choice. Their imposition of an idea of when conception occurs. When does the soul enter the body and becomes a human being? No one knows. It's an idea. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe. When it is a baby. What is a precept for being anti-abortion? An idea. A maybe. A religion. Their idea of not having, using stem cell research, perhaps? Maybe. Yet, what do they do ultimately in the Christian community, in the religion, Christian right? No choice for you, woman. You cannot decide to do what you do with your body. Sex? We can't do that. We have to tell you what to do. See, religions, even Christianity, tell you what you can do. You have no right to free thought. Any free thought that you have, they will say, oh, it's the demon in you or the devil in you. That is their fallback. That is the fallback. So free speech for the Christian is the devil. Get it? Free mind, free human spirit is the devil. Oh, gee, did this something new? No, it was used during the Dark Ages. Well, how they have a war on women, it has been going on since the Dark Ages. They used to torture the woman first, beat the woman first. This has been going on for centuries. Still happening in the United States. Freedom of speech. What about when movies come out? When some things are said, oh, we don't have, we have happy holidays instead of the Christmas holidays. It's a war on against Christian, war on Christmas, right? You'll see that on Fox News sometimes. Again, it is a war of free speech. They use a war on free speech in different elements. In Christianity, it's been always there. It's been a backbone of Christianity. Like I just said, anybody counters Christianity, their backbone of free thought or free speech, it is then the devil in you that's talking. That's their fallback. Oh, because of Paul's scripture, and it says that. That's his fallback, cleverly placed in there. The Catholic Church, tell me how much free speech does it take and covering up the molestation of children that was happening under your order. I mean, the crimes that the Catholic Church go bound all the way back even to when it first was conceived. But today, alone, the church is criminal all the way up to the Pope. What would you call the cover-up? Yet, the church is the first one to stifle one's free thought, free speech. Do you remember when the book, The Da Vinci Code, came out? You know, it's interesting, though. The Da Vinci Code came out and really cascaded the Catholic Church. But you know what? I didn't see any Catholics or Christians, for instance, in any instances, running violently protesting. Don't remember that. How come? It says a lot about what was going on in the Muslim world with all these continual violence. What they call blasphemy. What they don't like, free speech. Remember the cartoon? How many people died in violence and destruction over that? Ridiculous. Killing and violent for my God is better than your God crap? Believe me, come on. You can see it from Baptists to Christians for centuries, even today. There has been a continued walls of the brains. You go to the South and to the Bible Belt, and the mentality of people, how limited they are, is largely due to their Christian faith. They have no free speech, so their wisdom is limited. They limit themselves. When the person is limited, he creates a box. A box is limitation. That goes counter to nature. Nature is not limited. Nature is irrespectable of limitations. It is infinite process. Your mind is not limited. Your thoughts and ideas are not limited. Out of free speech, out of enlightenment, when did things occur? Galileo. Einstein. Tesla. Edison. I can name multiples of inventors and inspirational philosophers. No limitations. Where did they come up with their ideas? They certainly weren't out of free, in a limited nature. Even Jesus himself challenged with free speech. And it's ironic that the Christians want to counter people's free speech in the name of Jesus, killing in the name of opposite. How many Christians are so worried about, call themselves pro-life, but they're so fast at sending children to war? And what about when they're alive? Who's going to take care of the mother? Will they really take care of the mother of the young child? What if it's child, the woman was raped or had incest? They still want her to be subjugated to have a child. How far does it go? And what about Jews? In Israel, for example, don't they have limitations? Hell yeah. I mean, telling women they can't wear a male shawl at the Koto, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, like, come on. In their own things, they create limitations and cascadings upon women. Think, blessed art thou God for making me a man, not a woman. That's their prayer. They have their own things. The same thing. Limitations of thought and expressions. They'll call me a heretic. They roll their eyes. I studied Kabbalism. I studied all the stuff about Judaism. And if I sit in front of them and I mention certain things, they can't say anything because of what I already know. I was a member who was around a bunch of religious people walking out. They want to put this thing called tefillin on me. And, you're a good Jew, blah, blah, blah. And then I said to them some Kabbalistical understandings, and they looked at me in shock. Like they had no return what to say about what I know. Because they're doing things of mechanical sense, not knowing what they really are. And they live by limitations and limiting their own perspectives. But if they follow true nature within even Judaism, which is through Kabbalism, it leads to the same source I led to, the Ein Sof, God, infinite, beyond the infinite. How we're all connected. They would see all these mechanical reasons are all things. How we're all connected. Jew, Christian, Muslim, the plant, the tree. That's what it means, beyachad, with God, together with God. But then again, with all the things I've done to Jews, like the Passion of Christ, I didn't see Jews marching out on the street burning down theaters. I didn't even see Jews going out to Egyptian embassies and burning down their embassies because all the anti-Semitic crap that continually comes out of their publications or any other Islamic countries, including Saudi Arabia, etc. I don't see that happening. I didn't see, for Mormons, for example, there was a movie about Brigham Young's famous massacre called the Mountain Meadows Massacre of 1857. True story. How they murdered a bunch of settlers that were coming to pretend they were Indians. Because they are scared of them. And that movie was put out, but God forbid, I didn't see Mormons burning down theaters, protesting in the street, crashing embassies. Nope. Yet, there is a plethora of illogical nonsense, anti-Allah, anti-God within the Islamic world. In Iran, a man converts to Christianity, and what do? They if they did execute him, they're going to execute him. Every single where in the world, almost every single place in this world, where there is war and violence, the name Islam appears. I can go from the Philippines, Thailand, Far East, Indonesia's, Africa's, even the United States, in Europe, every Middle East, obviously, every single place, Muslim. There's no denying it. And if it's somebody who's really true faith of Islam, true faith of Allah, a moderate would try to stand up to change that. This is not happening for 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years. This has been going on for 100 years or longer. When the Ottomans slaughtered 1 million Armenian Christians, that was the start. When the Muslims killed Jews in Hebron in the 1920s, and al-Hussein, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, the uncle of Arafat, Islam. When the Shiites and Sunnis have been in centuries of wars for over 100 years, Islam. Lebanon, Islam. When you see the Iraq and Iranian war, Islam. When you see what's going on within Iraq, the fighting and bombing, Islam. Afghanistan, Islam. Egypt, Islam. Sudan, Islam, the West African Islam. When you see the fights and the riots happening inside France, Britain, Islam. When they killed Van Gogh's descendant, Islam. In the United States, even though it's a question of who really did it, or the tools used who actually did it, Islam. I can go on and on and on. All in the name of, killing in the name of, is that really the true Allah? It is by way of self-censorship, even by the true Allah. Even it is by the way of self-censorship, even by the true Allah-believing Muslims, can't even express that they too would be killed. A moderate Muslim saying something, gone, dead. And I will say this, I will say how it is. In the name of Islam, Muhammad was much like Christopher Columbus. He advocated genocide, rape, murder, and torture. Muhammad married a 9-year-old girl. Fact. He was a pedophile. He advocated rape on non-believers. Fact. Muhammad was absolutely no different. Absolutely no different than Christopher Columbus and the Pope granting it's okay to murder and torture the so-called heathens, the Indians, or in Muhammad's case, it was the non-believers or the Jews. What is the difference between Christopher Columbus and Muhammad? Zero. Both advocated the murder and rape under the guise of an invention of an Allah. Here are some of the facts. In Egypt, there is absolutely no democracy like you think. It is mob rule. Free speech, which is an underlying principle for true democracy, nada. Egypt is nothing more than a mob rule with a theocracy. I even heard that, irrespective of the Jews are not allowed to have their services during their high holidays. And Coptic Christians, too, are being ostracized and attacked, as well as Jews. If you read in the Quran, it says in Surah 4:24, Muhammad committed rape and encouraged rape of non-Muslims. Muhammad was a pedophile. He married a 9-year-old Aisha. Muhammad was a murderer and committed genocide, hardly a man of peace and certainly not a man of love. In Hijra, the year 5, 627 AD, almost 900 Jews of the Midian tribe called Banu Karaza were massacred by Muslims in one day. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was the lead spectator of this butchery, which began early in the day, ending in nightlight, torchlight. Those who escaped death were taken captive by Muslims and sold in slave markets. This genocide is known in history as the Banu Karaza incident. Yet, how much murder, rape, torture, destruction were made in the name of Allah, name of Islam? Same thing like Christians, in the name of Jesus. Murder. Mob rule is Arab Spring. Nothing more. It became mob rule. Get it? All the people who tried to be politically correct, all it made was taking a totalitarian society, and now you made it mob rule. One tyranny to a new one. Freedom, including free speech, and tolerance, including minority religions, and human rights, including religious, ethnic, minority rights, gays and women, does not exist in the Islamic world of their version of democracy. To kill, maim, destroy in the name of religion demonstrates more of the mentality of the people than their even own religion does. To kill, maim, destroy for the invention of a lie, like a man in the sky, is not only pathetic, it is barbaric. Again, what have these countries with their hypocrisy made of their cartoons of Jews and their religion and other religions? Yet you do not see Jews burning down Islamic flags or attacking embassies. It is ironic. Of all factions of Islam, Sufi Islam is forbidden in Iran, the birthplace Sufi Islam, the famous Rumi. In fact, Sufi Islam is forbidden in almost every single Muslim country, either by law or outright ostracism or attacks. Why? Because Sufi Islam, which is the real Islam, is the same Islam that Rumi follows, does not preach separation but union of all humans. His famous quote said, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Shaman, Zoroastrian, stone, ground, mountain, river, each has its secret way of being with the mystery and unique, not to be judged. He also said, I go into the Muslim mosque and the Jewish synagogue and the Christian church, and all I see are one altar. That is the real Islam. That is the real Islam. If a religion is of light, it can withstand the adversity of the dark. Light repels dark. But when a religion is of dark, it cannot repel light. Thus, it will react with more darkness. But truth is light, and no matter how much darkness is used to repel the light, the dark is exposed, simply further for being what it is, dark. Dark must seek to cover or react when exposed to light. While all the light has to do is simply just stand and illuminate, there is no need to cover. There is no need to react. That is the truth. And I'm going to close, and I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank PBS Radio once again for having me, and thank you all for listening and future listeners. God bless you all, and I'm going to close Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine. God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless you all. Thank you.
To make you do what the deciders have decided you must do. They use force to make you do what the deciders have decided you must do. They use force to make you do what the deciders have decided you must do. Do what they told you. Motherfucker.